Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Our culture is in the shape it's in because, in part, the churches are in the shape that they're in, and pastors and leaders of these churches and denominations are not standing up for biblical truth. Now, that's certainly a broad brush, and it doesn't apply to every church or denomination, and certainly not to every pastor. But we're going to be talking about what pastors and churches can do to address biblical issues in the culture. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbWire.com. Matt, I came across this story, and it's about something that you would think that some liberal university did when they banned the Discovery Institute from sponsoring an information table at a conference. Here, you would think that it's got to be some California secular school or some liberal secular school that they just didn't even want to have Discovery Institute having a table regarding intelligent design, regarding the fact that there is got to be a designer because the design is complicated and it takes some form of intelligence to create the design that we can observably see. Seems logical. But in this case, it wasn't a secular university. It was the United Methodist Church. During its general conference, they banned the Discovery Institute from having a table that would just provide information. This is the UMC denomination itself banned this organization. Unbelievable.
Yeah, how bankrupt are the United Methodists going to get to the point? You know, we saw the PCUSA Church come out against Israel and come out in favor of so-called gay marriage and so forth. So these mainline liberal denominations and the United Methodist Church here, you know, are they operating on just on bad information about what a church can talk about and what a church can't talk about? It makes you scratch your head.
Well, you know, it's obvious that a church can talk about this. You know, the last year, you're talking about the Presbyterian USA Church. It's different than the PCA Church. The USA Church is the liberal branch. The USA Church is the liberal one. The PCA is the conservative one. Last year, I think 34,000 African-American churches left the USA Church over its liberal stances on abortion, particularly marriage, where they support same-sex unions, anti-Israel. You've got the same situation that's happening over here with the UMC. These denominations are losing people because they have abandoned the scriptures. The survey that Discovery Institute did of 2,000 people found out that more than 70% of the respondents said that they should not be banned. More than 78% of the respondents agree that the church was inconsistent with its stated position to encourage open hearts, open minds, open doors, which is the church's slogan. Of those, two-thirds of the Democrats that were polled, 70% of independents, and 70% of the Republicans also agreed that they should not be banned. So this church is really out of step, not only with popular opinion, but also certainly with the scriptures. Now, we have at Liberty Counsel a packet of information, the Silence is Not an Option packet. It's part of our Pastors and Patriots initiative to encourage pastors and churches to get involved and address issues of our day. The Silence is Not an Option DVD is available for pastors and churches and church leaders to talk about what pastors and churches can do, that you can address many of these, all of these biblical issues, even if they have political consequences or implications, you can address them. We have information about what is permissible, and frankly, not one church, not one has ever lost its tax-exempt status for endorsing or opposing a piece of legislation on the local, state, or national level. Not one has ever lost its tax-exempt status for the pastor or the church even endorsing or opposing a candidate for elective office, even though that's specifically not permitted under the IRS code. But even then, not one church has lost its tax-exempt status for doing so.
Well, that's right. Pastors can preach on biblical, moral, social issues, natural marriage, abortion. They can urge their congregation to register and vote to support, you know, varied ballot initiatives. They can overview the positions, the very positions, various candidates, and they can show which, you know, which positions are biblical, which positions are in opposition to biblical truths. They, pastors can personally endorse candidates. And as you mentioned, since 2008, there have been thousands of pastors who have exercised their First Amendment rights, even from the pulpit, even endorsing and opposing candidates, essentially daring the IRS to come after them so they can challenge the Johnson Amendment and these unconstitutional ideas that a church cannot, talk to these issues that they have politicized, so that they can hand out voter guides, nonpartisan voter guides. They can voter registration drives. They can provide transportation to the polls. They can hold candidate forums where the candidates speak, and even introduce visiting candidates. You know, Matt, Christ said that we are to be salt and light, and pastors, I think, are held to a higher standard here. You have to have this example you gave of the United Methodist Church. Even saying, no, we're not even going to let you talk about the truth that God created the world. You know, the Genesis account, of creation and intelligent design, the study of the creation account. Well, you know, pastors need to follow the lead of Christ. They need to speak moral and / political truths in love. Always in love, but they need to do so fearlessly. They need to remain undaunted by these empty paper tiger threats of the government, of, you know, talking about intervening or punitive action by the state. And they need to encourage people to vote for candidates who sincerely reflect, in not just in word, not just in platitudes, but in both word and deed, that reflect a biblical worldview and biblical principles. They need to be salt and light, and we all Christians have to be salt and light, because Christ did not give us an option to do otherwise.
Yeah, if the church denies the first five words of the Bible, you know that you're in trouble. In the beginning, God created. And if you deny that, then I don't know what's left for you after that. That's kind of the introduction basic right there. The problem that we have with others that certainly don't deny that is they want to be non-confrontational. They want to say, well, I'm just going to be called to preach the gospel. And I get that. That is your call. But what is the gospel? The gospel is the saving intervention of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, lived like us, took our sins upon him, and gave us complete forgiveness in him, who died and rose again and who's coming again. That's the gospel, that we accept that by faith, and it's only by the grace of God. Now, that transforms the culture. If now in your connection with the Lord, you understand that he is the creator and that life is precious, then how can you turn your eye and avert your gaze when someone is brutally killing a child in the womb? How can you turn your gaze when Christians are being beheaded because of their profession of Christ? You can't just simply go into your little church sanctuary, shut the doors behind you, and sing songs like in this little video. I encourage you to watch it. It's called Sing a Little Louder. You can find it on the web. It's about a church that was situated right beside the railroad tracks during the Holocaust. And the train would take these people to the gas chambers, and they would wail and cry and weep. And instead of the church doing something about it, they decided to drown out the noises of the people. They would just sing their songs a little louder to pretend that nothing was happening, so they wouldn't be forced to get involved, that their conscience wouldn't prick them. We have got to stop singing a little louder. We have got to listen to the cries of the people, and we have to transform the culture as we ourselves have been transformed by the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. You can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, and you can ask for the Silence is Not an Option DVD. I encourage you to order one. It also has a booklet, part of our Patriots Handbook series, and the Patriots Handbook series is the Patriots Handbook on Political Activity of Pastors and Churches, just a pocket-sized handbook, and that goes along with the DVD. Lots of good information about what pastors and churches can do. And in fact, no church, as I mentioned, has ever lost its tax-exempt status for engaging in either supporting or opposing legislation or educating or mobilizing people to vote for people on the state, national, or even local level. For more information, ask for the Silence is Not an Option DVD in the Pastor's Packet. You can go to lc.org to get more information or order it online or call us at 407-875-1776. Pray for Liberty Counsel and support Liberty Counsel's ministry.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.